This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
More info coming out on the case against Brian Koberger. This time, items seized from the senior Koberger home when Brian went for the holiday break, and they found him in his kitchen going through items, separating them into plastic baggies, wearing surgical gloves, because that's normal. That's, hey, what you doing over there? Mama's baking some cookies. I'm just, I don't know what I would say to my child if I saw that happening. Maybe he was doing it and they were in bed and had no idea. I have to guess that. But we are going to be talking here today with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, about this very, very case and diving into the new evidence that's been unsealed, if you will, in the case against Brian Koberger. Let's just kind of start there. It's a very interesting scene to wrap your mind around, Robin.
You know, it's really interesting when I looked at that. I always kind of go with the first emotional impressions we get when we see something or we experience something, because that's generally a pretty good indicator of what we, you know, relate to in life. And early on, when they first, you know, apprehended him, the first thought I had was, wow, you know, what a basic approach to doing something so complex, because, you know, here's a kid that's studying criminology. He's, you know, going for advanced degrees and in profiling and all these things. And yet he seemed to execute it at a really basic rudimentary level with like no practical experience, obviously. Mm-hmm. Thank God, actually. And then when I saw the search return, the things in there, like the masks and all these different things, the initial impression I got was this is a kid that was given a high school assignment to murder someone. And this is what he came up with.
Essentially. Yes.
Yeah. Now, you know, and the thing, and here's why that also resonates with me, is because every time you see him, granted, we don't know what's going on in the mind, you know, so judging a book by its cover. Yeah, the cover set, you know, gives you a very small glimpse of what the chapters are like inside, but it does give you a little bit. And so when I'm looking at the cover of him as a book, he always looks shocked and surprised that he was caught. Mm-hmm. And again, it gives me that impression of this kid that was a really good student, as people have said, smart, and he's shocked he failed his exam of how to commit a murder.
Do you think he thought that he was being really advanced and really sneaky and strategic?
Yeah, I think so. His look of surprise and the initial questions he had for the cops when they showed up of, have you found anyone else? Have you interviewed anyone else or whatever that was? You know, that's again, that initial shock of there must be someone else because you couldn't be just me. So yeah, that's, and also when he was pulled over by his dad, you know, some of the the body cam footage also looked, you know, annoyance, they were pulled over. It was just really interesting to me. His whole demeanor throughout this has been one of kind of shock that I'm smarter than everyone else. And I can't believe you caught me.
What did you make of that back when we're talking about when he initially got arrested and he made that statement of, did you get anyone else? Because I think that played on the surface to a lot of us of, was there more than one person involved with you doing this? Or was that almost like to, in his mind, he thought he was being tricky and throwing people off?
For me, from the get-go, it was, I thought he was being tricky. The only other thought I had on that was maybe he left breadcrumbs to lead to someone else. Mm-hmm. To me, I never took it as he was conspiring with anyone else.
Sure. Tell me, when you're looking at this from being a fairly rudimentary plan and not super complex or deep in its ways, what are some of those things that stand out to you that make you go, yeah, this guy really didn't know what he was doing other than from what he's read in textbooks, like specifically?
I think... the way he apparently looked like he turned on and off his cell phone, he didn't understand the broader spectrum of how we baseline or how professionals baseline based on experience. He read, hey, or knew, whether he read or knew, you know, like, hey, well, they're going to look at cell phone data. So when you go to the residence to stake it out, turn it off. Mm-hmm. Just you know, right obvious beforehand.
Things that, things that almost look more suspicious than not.
Yeah. In other words, so instead of doing it right before then, you know, get a completely different cell phone, leave it turned off and stay and keep it at home always. Never bring it with you. I mean, there's just, again, it just, the execution seemed to be him reading that they're going to do X, Y, and Z. So make sure you do X, Y, and Z right before you do it. Same thing with, again, the big telling one to me was, you know, putting your trash in the neighbor's trash can across the street. Because he knew that they're going to search your trash. Okay, then I won't have it in my trash. I'll put it in the guy's next to me. That those types of things to me say, wow, this is someone that read it in a book and thought he's really smart because he read it really, really good. And probably no one else read like as deeply as me or read as many sources as I have read. So I know this, but he had no experience with doing it. Or, and additionally to that, not just him personally experienced it, but didn't talk to anyone that had experience. In other words, he didn't conduct interviews necessarily. I mean, I don't know what he did and didn't do, but he didn't talk to anyone that either investigated it themselves or had perpetrated these types of crimes themselves as well.
I'd be curious to learn what he got on that study he was trying to do in criminology.
Yeah, that's what I'm literally, you can probably hear my wheels turning on. I'm really interested in that as well. The other thing that is really striking to me on this too, I because you don't know what defense is allowing, not allowing, or when he lawyered up, but the whole, his text string from when he was younger too, when he was basically being pretty open with the pain and confusion he was experiencing, that's someone who generally, like all of us at different points in life, wasn't feeling like he was connecting with anyone or anyone really understood or knew him. And I don't think it would take much for someone to non-judgmentally have a conversation with him. And if not a confession, but get leakage on different aspects of him and what was going on. I mean, hell, he was doing it. If these, all these different personas he had on all these different social networking sites anyway, where someone says that, oh, we think the killer is here or there or anywhere. And he's actually chiming in. No, I don't think so. I mean, he was actually given leakage in other places already. So I would imagine a great interviewer would be able to get an awful lot out of him.
Yeah. It would be interesting to try and just speak to his inner sadness, if you will, because I mean, I think a lot of this, you know, comes from that. Obviously, it's no justification for anything, but I think it does explain a little bit more of how we got the recipe for what we got here in Koberger. What was your take on? I found it very amusing when I read about when they came into his home. He's sitting there in shorts and a t-shirt with rubber gloves on, going through his own trash and putting it into separate baggies. What is he doing in that sort of situation? Number one, why is he holding on to anything that would be relatable to this crime scene? Unless it's a trophy of some sort, or is he thinking that, you know, he's going to have this as a, some things as a backup to prove that he wasn't there? I don't know. There's so many unanswered questions there, but what's your take on that?
I don't, again, I'm not an expert on the different criminal mindsets of these things. He never struck me as a trophy taker.
No.
I still go back to the classroom assignment thing. I mean, so if you conducted a classroom assignment and you're given a task to do a project, you're going to hold on all the pieces of the project in case you need to do the project over, or you're going to do it again, or whatever it is. And also, since people have described him as OCD, he's probably just categorizing things and putting them in their proper places. And since he didn't read about how to get rid of certain types of evidence, he'll just hold on to it. He executed, all right, I got to get rid of the murder weapon. I got to get rid of my clothes that I wore. So that's why we're having a hard time finding those. But he probably didn't read about getting rid of anything else. He didn't seem to be a very innovative thinker, is a good way to put it, because he didn't innovate to the situations he was presented. Here's a great example of showing his lack of innovation. So he planned this entire thing out. He's confronted in the hallway on the way out by the other female that lived in the residence, and he doesn't kill her.
Yeah. That was bizarre.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the pattern of his behavior and the pattern of his life as an arc, it really fits. because he's structured, he's methodical, and he doesn't deviate from his OCD plan.
Sure.
And since encountering an unknown individual in a household wasn't part of his plan, he didn't know what to do and just kept going.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
More to come with Robin on the Koberger situation, driving a little bit deeper into everything that's been happening in the last couple of weeks here, that's been revealed in the last handful of weeks. And we'll dive deeper into his story, maybe what happened earlier in life to make Koberger the way he became. Press subscribe so you don't miss that part of the conversation. It's coming up on the feed here very soon. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.